Section 2, Federal Government. As you read, look for how the Constitution's elastic clause helps to meet the demands of changing times. The makeup and powers of the federal government's legislative branch. The organization of the executive branch and the line of succession for the presidency. How the federal judicial system is structured and the following terms. Elastic clause, bicameral, enumerated powers, implied powers, ratify, electoral college, and judicial review. In the first three articles of the U.S. Constitution, the framers established the legislative, executive, and judicial branches. The framers of the Constitution were men of great wisdom, and they anticipated that future social and technological changes would place new demands on the federal government. To meet those demands, they included an elastic clause in Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 18. The elastic clause empowers Congress to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution all other powers vested in the government of the United States or in any department or officer thereof. Legislative branch. Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution created a bicameral, two-house, legislature that includes the United States Senate, upper house, and House of Representatives, lower house. The article also established the qualifications for election to the two houses and enumerated the powers and authority of the United States Congress. U.S. Senate. Every state has two members in the U.S. Senate. Because there are 50 states, the U.S. Senate has 100 senators. A member of the Senate must be at least 30 years old, a citizen of the United States for at least 9 years, and a resident of the state he or she represents. Senators serve 6-year terms and were originally appointed by their state legislatures. In 1913, the 17th Amendment to the Constitution provided that senators be elected by popular vote. Senate terms are staggered so only 1/3 of the Senate is elected in a single election year. The Vice President is the presiding officer of the Senate, but can only vote in case of a tie. U.S. House of Representatives. There are 435 members in the U.S. House of Representatives. Each state's membership in the House is based on its population. A member of the House of Representatives must be at least 25 years old, a citizen of the United States for at least 7 years, and a resident of the state he or she represents. In November of even-numbered years, representatives are elected to 2-year terms from congressional districts in each state. Because membership is based on population, states with more people have more representatives. Each state's number of House members is determined every 10 years by following the U.S. Census. After the 2000 U.S. Census, North Carolina's membership in the House was raised from 12 to 13 members. Membership remained at 13 after the 2010 Census. Legislative powers. The Constitution grants certain powers to Congress, which has both enumerated and implied powers. Enumerated powers are those powers specifically given to Congress in the Constitution. Implied powers are those given to Congress in the elastic clause. The Constitution gives each House different powers. The House of Representatives has the power to impeach, bring charges against a public official while that person is still in office. All revenue bills, proposals for laws to establish or raise taxes, must originate in the House. The Senate confirms presidential appointments to the U.S. Supreme Court, the Cabinet, and other judicial and executive positions, ratifies, approves, treaties, and serves as a court in impeachment proceedings. Executive Branch. In Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution, the Founding Fathers created the Office of President and established a complicated process for choosing the Chief Executive. They did not allow the President to be elected by popular vote. In part, this was because they did not believe that people in the remote parts of the country would know enough about the presidential candidates to make informed decisions. In addition, small states worried that their votes would not count. In a popular vote, small states could always be outvoted by larger states. A compromise was reached in which each state would have a number of electors equal to the number of members from that state in Congress. This arrangement guaranteed that each state would have at least 3 electors because each state has 2 senators and at least 1 representative. Today, there are 538 presidential electors, 100 for the number of U.S. senators, 435 for the members in the U.S. House of Representatives, and 3 electors who represent the District of Columbia. North Carolina has 15 electors. This electoral college chooses the president and vice president. In case of a tie vote, the House of Representatives makes the choice. Today, in most states, the presidential candidate who wins the popular vote in that state wins its electoral votes. State law in North Carolina requires its electors to vote for a specific candidate based on the results of the popular vote in the state. The president, vice president, and cabinet. The Constitution gives the federal government's executive branch the power to carry out the laws enacted by Congress. The executive branch includes the president, vice president, and 15 cabinet members. Among the major cabinet members are the attorney general and the secretaries of state, treasury, defense, energy, education, and homeland security. There are also numerous agencies and bureaus in the executive branch. The president and the vice president must be at least 35 years old, natural born, not naturalized, citizens, and residents of the United States for at least 14 years prior to their election. They are elected to 4-year terms. Since the 22nd Amendment was ratified in 1951, the president can serve only 2 terms. The Constitution does not expressly limit the vice president to 2 terms. The line of succession. The vice president assumes the presidency if the president dies in office, resigns, or is removed by impeachment. If the vice president cannot assume those duties, the line of succession falls to the Speaker of the House of Representatives, followed by the president pro tempore of the Senate. The line of succession then follows through the cabinet officers, beginning with the Secretary of State and continuing in the order each cabinet position was created. The vice president can also become acting president for a period of time if the president is temporarily unable to perform his or her duties. The 25th Amendment to the Constitution establishes a process for choosing a new vice president if the sitting vice president becomes president. Judicial branch. Article 3 of the U.S. Constitution creates a judicial branch of the federal government, which has the power to interpret the Constitution and laws passed by Congress. Article 3 states, "The judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court, and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish." In the early years of American history, the federal judicial system was small and not very complicated. As the nation expanded, the economy became increasingly complicated, and Congress created several additional and special courts. The Supreme Court. The United States Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, includes a Chief Justice and 8 Associate Justices. The President, with the consent of the U.S. Senate, appoints members to the Supreme Court to lifetime appointments. Article 3 does not establish any specific qualifications for Supreme Court justices. The Supreme Court has both original and appellate jurisdiction, area of authority. Original jurisdiction is the authority to hear a case for the first time. Appellate jurisdiction is the authority to review a case that has already been tried and decided in a lower court. The Supreme Court has original jurisdiction in cases involving a foreign country or disputes between a state and the federal government. It has appellate jurisdiction over the decisions of lower federal courts and state courts. The Supreme Court's most significant power is judicial review, which is the authority to determine the constitutionality of laws passed by Congress and state legislatures, and any actions taken by the executive branch. When the Supreme Court decides a case on constitutional grounds, that decision becomes the guideline for all lower courts to follow and for laws that deal with similar issues. The court can also prevent executive action through injunctions that forbid the action. The Supreme Court decides which cases it will hear. This authority enables the court to keep its caseload manageable. Lower federal courts. Congress has divided the nation into 11 judicial circuits with appellate jurisdiction, plus the District of Columbia Court of Appeals. North Carolina, South Carolina, Maryland, Virginia, and West Virginia are in the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. These United States Courts of Appeals review the decisions of lower courts and the judgments rendered by administrative agencies. There are no juries or witnesses in appellate courts. Attorneys for the appellants, those making an appeal, present their arguments to the appellate judges on behalf of their clients. Below the courts of appeals are 94 United States district courts, which have original jurisdiction. District courts are the federal trial courts and are the only federal courts that include juries and witnesses during trials. North Carolina is divided into three districts, Western, Middle, and Eastern. District courts hear cases of both criminal and civil matters. There is also a U.S. bankruptcy court in each of North Carolina's three federal districts. Bankruptcy is a legal issue involving a person's or an organization's inability to pay its debts. Special courts. Included in the federal judicial system are several courts created by Congress to deal with special kinds of cases. The U.S. Tax Court hears disputes between citizens and the Internal Revenue Service, and the Court of Military Appeals reviews military court-martials. The Court of International Trade decides civil suits against the United States involving trade with other countries, and the U.S. Claims Court handles a wide variety of suits against the United States government. Special feature, Carolina Places, Joyce Kilmer Memorial Forest. Very few places in North Carolina are what scientists call old-growth forests, where humans have not come and cut down the original trees. One of the most beautiful old-growth stands is the Joyce Kilmer Memorial Forest. It is located at the very tail of the state, in the rugged mountains of Graham County. Since 1936, it has been protected through efforts of the federal government, and the U.S. Forest Service has worked to allow nature to take its course. Foresters call it the best example of what a mountain cove forest looked like to the Cherokee and early white settlers. Other North Carolinians have claimed that the forest equals the beauty and wonder of the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse, another federally administered property open to our citizens. By the early 20th century, the North Carolina mountains had lost much of their original character. Most of the forest had been logged. Because Graham County was so hard to get in and out of, loggers made less money. Therefore, they left alone about 4,000 acres near the Unicoi Mountains. During the New Deal era beginning in the 1930s, federal officials looked to curb erosion and soil depletion by planting trees. When a government official discovered one of the very few tracts of virgin hardwood in the Appalachians west of Robbinsville, he persuaded officials to buy the land immediately. The government even paid $28 an acre for the land, then worth $4 an acre, to keep the loggers from getting it. Federal forestry officials named the stand of trees for a man named Joyce Kilmer, author of the well-known poem, Trees. Many school children have learned the famous first line of the poem, I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. Visitors to the forest almost always agree. At some places, the hemlocks rise up so high that the first row of branches is 30 feet off the ground. Oaks and maples also grow tall here. The most famous spot is in a small depression called Poplar Cove, where the yellow poplars are more than 100 feet high. Some of them measure at least 20 feet in circumference at their base. Few poplars anywhere else in the world are as large or as old. Scientific measurements tell us that some of them were saplings when the Roanoke colony was being established in 1587. Since 1975, the area has been protected by the federal government as the Joyce Kilmer Slick Rock Wilderness Area. More than 17,000 acres are left to mature and change, just as forests did before humans depleted them. visitors cannot even bring a bicycle into parts of the wilderness, much less a car. Trails are minimally marked, as they would have been when the first explorers came to the area more than 1,000 years ago.